Sima Shapiro, the host of the new contemporary lifestyle radio show for women over 40, featuring everything about your health, wealth, children, happiness, and anything else of interest to you, the listener. Please stay tuned. Hi and welcome. I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Today I'll be talking with two women passionate about their lives and the topic of life over 50. And I apologize to the listener. We had a technical glitch, but I think it has to do with our topic. Mary and Eileen?
Mary Rogers is here.
And I'm there too.
Oh, okay. Morning radio talk show host Mary Rogers, 53, blogs, speaks, and podcasts on the shared struggles and experiences of midlifers under the banner of Experience 50, helping men and women navigate the many personal and professional transitions of midlife so that they can experience joy-free regret. She has owned several businesses and held leadership positions in a number of organizations, including the National Association of Women Business Owners. Mary lives in Traverse City, Michigan, with her husband of 18 years, eagerly awaiting their empty nest. That's no fair. Stop it. Eileen Williams is a job search expert, author, blogger, speaker, and radio host. As a nationally board-certified career counselor with a master's degree in career development, she has over 20 years' experience working as a career strategist for job seekers and career changers. Her book, Land the Job You Love, 10 Surefire Strategies for Job Seekers Over 50, provides mature applicants with the critical... Mature applicants? I have to just tell both of you, I am not over 50, so I'm happy that we're talking to you today. The critical information they need to successfully navigate today's competitive job market. She is an active contributor to the Huffington Post and has been interviewed for national and international publications, including Money Magazine, Kiplinger. Eileen is also the host founder of the popular blog and radio show called Feisty Side of 50. Tell me a little bit about your, you know, over 50. It's such a powerful statement, and it's such a powerful presence in the media today. Mary, tell me a little bit about your journey and your incarnation to your present life and why the passion about this topic.
I think that so many people are focused on reinvention at 50, and interestingly, I have been one of these people that reinvented myself probably every 5 years going through my career starting in my early 20s. So I'm really comfortable with risk-taking and change. And when I hit 50 for the first time, I was hit by things that were out of my control. I was slammed down first by a 2x4, which was the death of my best friend due to a heart attack. And as I was grieving that loss, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it was the first time that I really felt like my life was not necessarily in my control. And it threw me, really threw me. And as I dove into this topic of midlife transition, I found that this was, in fact, very common for people my age, that suddenly we were not in control of life and that there was a very natural transition that took place at this time. And I jumped in and did the research, and I'm having such a great time working with midlifers through my blog, through my podcast, helping them make this transition, because it's a transition to, I think, a real path to joy if you do it right.
And Eileen, same question?
Well, I'd like to say ditto to that, Mary. That's quite uplifting, your story. I will say, I think life, you know, they used to say life begins at 40. Sorry, Sima, you have a few years to go, because life really begins at 50. Again, you have to look at it in the right way. So, you know, if you've got some issues, I would check in with Mary and find out what she's doing. My own transition, however, started off a little earlier. I was a early bloomer, actually not, but in my late 30s, I thought, I've got to do something else. I wanted more excitement, you know, I wanted to grow. And so that's when I decided to go back to school and get a master's degree in career development, which was, I knew I enjoyed working with people, but I had a brief job at a therapy center, and I thought I wanted to do something a little different than be a psychotherapist or a psychoanalyst. So career development seemed like a great idea for me. And actually, I loved it. After I graduated, I got a private practice. I also did outplacement consulting, which, for people who don't know what that might be, it's when corporations do major layoffs, they hire firms to bring in people like me who help people find jobs, who give them the tools to be competitive in the job market. I also did some teaching at a local university, and I loved working with people. As I said, I enjoyed that my whole life, but I kind of thought at some point, I guess it was probably my mid-50s. I think I'm the oldest one here. I'm in my 60s, so we've got a 60s, a 50s, and a 40s here. That was when I thought, you know, I want to get out there a little bit more on the web, and that's when I wrote my book, Land the Job You Love, and got the website Feisty Side of 50, et cetera, so I could kind of spread the word, because I think mature job seekers really have, you know, they're facing ageism and a lot of other barriers out there. And I thought, gee, if I can help people out that way, that would be my passion. So that's how I came to be doing what I'm doing now.
My producer is giving me very dirty looks. I'm sorry. I happen to be slightly over 50. Okay. What is the buzz about being over 50? And I really want to try to examine this crystal ball from all angles, because there's so much being made about midlife mothers. There's so much being made about reinvention over 50. There's even more being made about 50 is the new 40. And Eileen, I'm wondering what your thoughts would be about why, in this point in time, is there so much focus and emphasis on this topic?
Well, the first thought that comes to my mind to respond to that is baby boomers. We have, I'm an early baby boomer, but with the population bulge, the attitudes we have, you know, that kind of revolutionary spirit, to get out there, make things happen, change the world, which we didn't do as much as we would have hoped, maybe, but I think it's partially due to that. Prior to us, if you recall, back in, well, maybe you don't because you are so much younger than I am, but women never spoke about menopause at all. In fact, one of the first times was Archie Bunker's wife, Edith, was going through the change. They didn't even say the word menopause. But now, being in your 50s, going through menopause, all this, it's just exploded everywhere. Again, I think partly due to our population numbers, but partly due to our outlook. And also, it's a very profound time in a woman's life, for sure.
Mary, your thoughts about the same topic, but I also want to take it a step further. So what are some of the biases that you know to be true by those outside of this group? And then there are biases by those in this group. Would you agree?
Well, let me start with the original question about Sure. Why is it such a buzz right now. And I am the opposite end of the baby boom generation. I'm a very young baby boomer. I think it's only me and people born 1 year before me who still qualify as baby boomers. But we are not our parents at 50. I mean, when we look back at what our parents were doing, they were winding down. They were, you know, I'm going to go see a Huey Lewis concert tonight, and my parents were certainly not doing anything like that when they were 53 years old. So we kind of get to write the script for ourselves because we're the first very active, healthy, and hip 50-year-olds to come along. So that would be why I think there's so much buzz, because we're the first youthful group of over 40s going through this. As for the biases, I mean, this is really Eileen's department, but I know that in job seeking or even joining a club or organization and volunteering to do something, there is a bias that still exists that thinks that people in their 40s, 50s, and older don't have any energy. that we just kind of, you know, have to hold on to things as we're walking in the door, or that we're technologically disabled, which isn't, I mean, for some, it's true, but certainly for others, it is not. So I would say energy and technology are the two biases that we have against ourselves. Eileen?
Oh, I would totally agree. And in the job search, I think technology might even beat out energy. But there are ways around it if you know how to do it. But I would like to add one more thing about this time of life. And this is, again, deals more with women and menopause. But as you both, I'm sure, are well aware, you know, the ratio of testosterone to estrogen changes in our life. And so we become more male-like in the fact once we hit this period, once we've gone through the perimenopause and all of that. But once we get on the other side, that menopausal zest, we become, you know, we tend to become more self-centered, more male-like, you know, go after things that we want more assertively, don't care what people think so much, aren't as people-pleasing as we used to be. In fact, I like to say we sprout our whiskers and strut our stuff. This is kind of our time, I think, especially for women over 50.
Do you have any stats, Eileen, for demographics for this group?
I did come up with some statistics that actually people 50, and I'm going to say 55 and older because that's what they refer to, and that actually is an age group I work with primarily. But years ago, say like 20 years ago or so, about a third of people 55 and older were still employed or looking for work. So just like Mary was saying, people tended to wind down way earlier than we are doing. Now that group is up to about at least 40% are still actively employed and actively looking for work. There are a whole host of reasons why, not just the energy and the fact that we're healthier, but a lot of times, you know, people just need money. You know, I mean, there's a lot of practical reasons, too. But the one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that the 55 and older group actually is probably the lowest group that suffers from unemployment, because the unemployment rate for this age group is only 3.5%, 3.6% to be, you know. And again, people think it's actually teens and younger applicants that are having more issues. Of course, if we get laid off, it takes us a longer time to find something. But anyway, it's just the whole idea, like Mary was referring to, is that I think rather than winding down, a lot of us older people are taking off and doing things that we may have always wanted to do, and finally we have permission to do them.
Can you talk to me a little bit more about what some of the other factors would be in creating this milieu for people continuing to work longer? Can you tell me some specifics? You said there's a lot of factors.
Oh, the reason for mm-hmm. wanting to work longer? Well, sure. I think actually Mary covered quite a bit of it. We are healthier. I mean, that's for sure. It's our outlook. The other thing I think is that I think the growing older, it's not about the wrinkles and the aches and pains. I mean, some of it is. But it is the fact that the older you get, and I will speak as the oldest one in this group, you have to feel that your contributions are of value and worth. So it's almost even more important to stay engaged, to contribute, to work. So it may not even be work for money. It might be, you know, again, this volunteer work, this giving back. But there is a surge of energy and a sense of, if not now, when am I going to do it? You know, bucket list stuff that really drives older people to want to continue to have a place in society and contribute to the greater good is my thought on that.
Eileen, how hard is it to get work after 50? And what is the issue of ageism?
I think that it's, the hard part is exactly what we said before. It's the technology and it's the energy issue, and what happens nowadays, and Eileen, I know this is your department, so you can maybe back me up here. The job seeking process is so different now. Now everything is online. Everything is automated before you get to meet face-to-face with the person doing the interviewing, and the way that the algorithms are formulated for accepting online applications, in most cases, people 48 and over, their resumes never even make it to the hiring manager. And so we have to be really creative in how we learn about jobs and how we get our resume in front of people.
Tell me a little bit about the keys that this group needs to be aware of when they're seeking work over 50.
Well, I'm going to, again, go, but Mary, I'm backing you up 100%. You have it exactly right. The thing that I think that this group, all groups benefit from it, networking. I'll just stay it out there. But the older you are, the more you need to network. And I've actually just written a series of articles, targeted networking, because when you are over 50, again, there are real stereotypes that you need to overcome. You cannot necessarily compete by submitting your resume online because, again, it'll be tossed out just like Mary said for a variety of reasons. But if you have a referral, if you get a nod of approval from a valued employee, and a lot of times they are going to get finder's fees for recommending you, a valued employee, a trusted colleague, a friend, a lot of that ageism and a lot of those stereotypes will disappear. So at a minimum, generally, if you are recommended by an influential referral, you will probably at least get a phone screen interview. You may not get the job, but you will circumvent a lot of the issues that would have been, you know, against you prior to, you know, without this referral. So everybody benefits from a people referral. We call them informal referrals, but a person-to-person-to-person referral. But if you are in a mature job seeker over 50, you really need that extra help because, again, if someone says, well, they probably don't know technology, and then your referral source or your friend comes back and says, oh, yes, they do. They can do this, this. They can overcome a lot of the roadblocks that may have stopped you without that type of referral.
We're talking today to two women passionate about their lives and the topic of life over 50. Eileen Williams and Mary Rogers are bloggers, speakers, podcast people, radio people. And I think what we'll do is just break for 1 minute segment and we'll be right back. Thanks, guys. We'll be back. We're back. We're talking with two women about the topic of living over 50, reinvention, and what it means. I'm going to get back to myself. I am over 50. I'm just funning both of you, and I think you know. But I have two children in two generations, and so I'm never at a loss for energy, but I find everything to be so difficult. And I can't say that it's a function of my physiology or my health. I think I'm in great health, but everything keeps changing. The media changes, technology changes, the mores keep changing, the traditional values in this country keep changing. And do either of you have thoughts about this, Mary?
Well, I think if you don't get used to it, you might as well try to leave the planet because that's just the way it is now. Everything moves so much faster now, and the way we grew up, I mean, I had to explain to my daughter, my 16-year-old recently, that there was actually a day when the newscasters couldn't say something until it had been verified by two sources. And she was like, you're kidding. I mean, just something as basic as how we get our news and the fact that Eileen and I are podcasting our opinions across the world, which that certainly couldn't have happened. But times are changing, and we need to learn to adapt or you're just going to get left behind. I don't know what you mean by things are so hard.
I just find that I have to spend innumerably more energy to learn the latest lingo, to get more information about technology. I just feel that once I'm so capable of mastering any number of things, they change. And I'm sorry, that wasn't a predicator for when any of us were younger. Things pretty much stayed the same. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that things shouldn't change with time. But I think that to be spending so much time just to keep up with everything is so tough. Eileen, do you have a sense of that?
Well, actually, my children are grown and have children. I'm a grandma, so I don't quite, I mean, I'm aware of, obviously, with change and with job search change and all that, but it may not be hitting me quite as hard as it's hitting both of you. But I do think that as we age, and especially as we get older again, we don't want to get insular. We don't want our world to contract so much that we're not aware of what's going on outside. We may not be able to keep up, and also energy is a factor as you get into your 60s and later 60s, and, you know, boomers are now, this year we turned 70. So there are some truths to some of that, but I think that, again, we want to stay open as much as possible, but maybe I'm not, you know, I don't have the same challenges that the two of you do in that regard.
I do hear this from my friend, Sima. I will back you up here, but I have friends who just say, someone please make my life easier right now.
Mm-hmm.
That they have, that the kids are teenagers, their parents are aging,
sure.
And all of a sudden we have to learn, what does Medicare Part B mean?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I have no idea, but I know that's something I still need to learn. But we're really sandwiched. Plus, at work, new technology is being introduced all the time, and we have some little 22-year-old who loves to work until 10 o'clock at night. So we do have a lot going on around us, things we're unfamiliar with, and there's nothing more stressful than having to figure something out. You know, when you're doing your job, or maybe that job is parenting, when you don't know how to use the tools and the equipment or the language, it's naturally stressful. And so I would say my first piece of advice to women who are feeling that way, give yourself a break. You know, just, we're all in the same boat. This is the way life is now. And don't be so self-critical and ask for help.
Do you have any sense of where you think this whole kind of movement is going? Do you foresee this for 10, 20 years from now, Eileen? Do you think that things will be different? Things will be easier?
Well, I think the two of you can speak to this issue far better than I, but I will say, from my vantage point, you know, the more technology we had, it was supposed to make life easier. Just obviously is not doing that. I think in the opposite oftentimes takes place. And the other thing too, now again, being older, I well remember that if you had an issue with a company or the phone bill was wrong or something, you call up and you get a person immediately who was trained to be helpful. So now, you know, with the phone mazes and the this and the that, and you can't talk to anybody, I can see where the stress level is rising. I mean, even, you know, in my little circle here. But to speak for 20 years down the line, I'm going to hand that over to both of you.
I'm not really sure, Mary. I think that as midlife mothers become more popular, if the genre of midlife mothering and having children over 40 and even over 50 becomes more popular, I think that in and of itself will make new pathways for women in mid-age. Would you agree? Mary?
What sort of pathways are you talking about?
I think that it will no longer be regarded as sort of iconoclastic. I think that it will force women to have to keep up with technology and to keep their bodies healthier. I think that medical technologies will be forced to continue to find ways to allow women this pathway and to allow men this pathway. Mm. I'm wondering your thought quickly, because we're running out of time.
I think that something to look at is the fact that the idea of aging equating, you know, disabilities and a lack of independence and just aging, that's all a very Western perspective. And as our world gets smaller through technology, I would hope that what we're going to see is a moving toward more of the Eastern culture and philosophy, that with aging comes wisdom, and that you celebrate that midlife transition toward wisdom instead of the Western version of that, which is, it's kind of an awful, ugly thing.
Eileen, your final real quick thoughts for the listener.
Real quick thoughts is that, yes, we are transforming. My tagline is transforming the spirit and style of aging. I think we definitely are doing that. I would like to say I have been in midlife for about 45 years now, and I'm still going to be in midlife. I'm not going to get old, because being old is a weariness of spirit. It does nothing to do with wrinkles or, you know, whatever. It's when nothing engages you anymore. So keep active, keep open, keep learning these kinds of things, and I think that aging will be a really rich time for just about everybody.
We've been talking with two women passionate about life over 50. Mary Rogers can be found at experience50.com. Eileen Williams at workforce50.com. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm Sima Shapiro, your host of For Women Over 40. Thank you to the listener for joining us. And until next time, I hope you take care.